Assalamu alaikum and thank you for logging on to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. This podcast is an excerpt from an interview with BET's Cousin Jeff in Chicago, Illinois, March 6, 2007.
I've heard black rappers in meetings with me say that they've gone to record executives with conscious rap. And the record executives would say to them, this won't sell. So you either go home and call a black woman out of her name or use the foul language, call each other dog, call each other the N-word. That sells. Who made it sell? Public Enemy didn't start like that. Mm-hmm. The conscious rappers were taken over by another kind of rap that began to be promoted, and conscious rap almost died. The rapper is the leader of young people all over the world. They're leading them today in one way, but with wisdom, they'll lead the youth in a much better way.
Well, and I was at the first hip-hop summit that Russell had that he invited you to, and I don't want people to think that was the first time you engaged the hip-hop community. You were invited because you had been engaging the hip-hop community. But at that event, which was themed Taking Back Responsibility, you gave harsh words to a number of artists, the artist community, about their ability and capacity to be able to lead. 6 years later, do you feel like much has changed? And do you believe that these artists in 2007 not have the capacity, but have the desire to lead?
They have the capacity to lead. I don't think they have the desire to lead. It's something forced upon them because millions of people buy their records. But to change the language of your rap, since the children are listening more to rappers than they listen to their teachers, then the rapper could become their teacher in a much more profound way than the rapper is doing. I don't like to knock rappers. I love them. And I see their greatness beyond themselves. And I'm always trying to pull on what I know is in them, but there are forces that don't want to see us change. So how do we stop it? A collective action on our part against the executives. And then when we get to the point where we don't want to use the N-word anymore, and we understand the meaning of it, and we understand what it's saying about our psychology or our psyche, then you stop buying albums that low-rate your people. You stop supporting the caricatures of black people on Fox or other TV stations that write these little stupid comedies where you are just like Steppin' Fetch It in the 1990s and 2000s. We're going backwards in time because our God has become money. So all the enemy has to do is give you a good paycheck, and then you compromise principle over money. And that's why Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon too. No man can serve two masters. You love one and you hate the other. If you hate the way your people are being destroyed, then you must love a way that will help you lift your people from their destroyed state.
But let me ask you this, because I sometimes have a problem with the notion that artists should be held responsible to be leaders. If they do, that's great. But what makes us believe, as critically thinking people, that going platinum gives me the intellectual capacity to mentor somebody? When this is the first time in the history of our people when artists have been given this responsibility If we look at the past, if we look at the Sidney Poitiers and the Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dees and the Sonia Sanchez's and others that were around during the 60s, who subscribed to black nationalism or subscribed to the civil rights methodology and ideology, they were engaged in a movement, but they didn't lead it. Are we now asking artists and entertainers to lead in lieu of a void of real leadership in our community?
That's a very good question, because they didn't lead because real leaders were leading.
Right.
Today there's a vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum. So the young people have stepped in. If you can teach a young boy to go out and sell some drugs, you can teach him how to sell product that are legitimate. It's just how you teach your baby what to do. Now, here's a rapper. He ain't trying to be a leader. He's trying to make some money. But all of a sudden, 1 million people have bought his album. He's shocked. He's blown completely away. And everywhere he turns, little people, young people quoting him. He comes out on the stage to rap, and everybody in the audience is rapping right with him. They know that, but they don't know any lessons in school. They don't know what's going on in the world around them. So now the rapper has become the mama, the papa. The rapper has become the leader by de facto leader. Leading by default, because there's a failure of preachers to reach the young. So now we got hip hop in the church, we got, you know, jazz, we got all kind of stuff going down. So the people rocking on Sunday like they rock on Saturday night in the club. So we're trying to get young people back in the church, young people back in this, but young people are listening more to a rapper than they do to one of the greatest preachers, and that's T.D. Jakes. All of these great preachers, Louis Farrakhan. The young people hear me, but they don't dance. And that's a heck of a thing, man. You pipe into somebody and they don't want to dance. But our young people hear Farrakhan. That's nice, man. The man is sure, boy, he's something else, man. But they don't dance to the rhythm of the truth. So there's a chastisement coming. That's what I meant on Sunday when I said my time is up. It's not that my time is up to stand in front of our people and talk to them, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a bearer of good news and a warner. Every time a black person comes, male or female, and lifts our people, the minute they're gone, the enemy touches the snooze button, and we just drop on back to sleep, waiting for the next person to entertain us with knowledge. Knowledge is not entertainment. Once you are the recipient of knowledge, you have a responsibility to act on the principles of that knowledge, or the knowledge will be a means of your own destruction. It's not that our people don't know. They know better. But now it's a time when, I'm going to smoke my crack. I'm going to do my drugs. And yo, dog. Yo, N-word, yo, B-word. And this is hip because I can bling bling off of that. I can wear so many diamonds, I got them all in my teeth. I got them on a cross in front of me mocking Jesus. Because Jesus is appalled at the language we use to describe one another. Yet when we take our Emmy or our Grammy, we say, I'm thanking my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, did he save you from the madness that projected you into the limelight and you want to stay being mad because it brings you money? How long will it take for you to be hot as a rapper? You hot today, gone tomorrow. You don't have any longevity. And what happens to the person that hits the lottery? They get money so fast, it kills them.
But let me ask you this. Because I've seen you engage artists, and I know about meetings that have happened that never reach the press. violence that was curtailed as a result of you having sit downs with individual artists in their camps to calm beefs. But where have your contemporaries been? Where have those that have been quick to condemn their own children for the language that they use and the behavior that they're engaged in? Because you and I both know that even though Shorty on the block may not listen, the artist will, if you come, if Jesse comes, if Sharpton comes, if others come. But in many cases, I've only seen you come. And so what about your contemporaries who have had the capacity to mentor these artists, who have the ability to reach the masses, but have only been engaged in condemnation?
Well, first, what is the spirit out of which the condemnation comes? I watched a sister that lives in Philadelphia that passed away maybe 2 years now. I'm sorry, her name escapes me. But she was the first one to condemn, not the first, but
C. Dolores Tucker.
Thank you. She condemned the artist for their language.
Yes.
But not out of a spirit of hate. She's a mother. Hmm. And just like your mama would take you aside and put that switch on your backside and then send you back out to play, C. Dolores Tucker was like a mother saying to her children, look, this is unacceptable. We've come too far for you to do this to your sister, to your brother. But it appeared like a mean-spirited condemnation. She went to the record executives and blasted them. Mm-hmm. She's a mother. We are her children. She wants to see her children better. Bill Cosby was speaking in a black environment, and his words were taken out of a black environment to the national environment, and it looks like Bill Cosby now, who is had the father image on the Cosby Show, is now talking down to his people. He's talking to the reality of a condition that he wants to raise us from. Maybe he didn't do it in the best manner, but his spirit was not a spirit of hatred for our people. I'm in love with black people. I don't care how you present yourself. I'm in love with you. Whether you gay, you straight, you this, you that, I know that there's an essence in black people that if you touch it right and bring it forward, that same black man that's doing what he's doing today will do something greater tomorrow. Malcolm is one of the best examples that he went all the way down to selling our women and selling drugs and pimping and robbing. But when he got a message that touched deep inside of him, Malcolm the pimp became Malcolm the professor, the teacher, the leader. And that's what's sitting up in these rappers. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at 50 Cent, who is hot today, Kanye West, these young men have millions of people in the palm of their hands. I don't want to see us condemn them. I want to see us teach them, encourage them, enlighten them, and encourage them to do better, because the whole world is listening. You go to Africa, it's rap. Mm-hmm. You go into the Islamic world where they hate Western culture, the young may be hiding it under the bed or somewhere, but they're listening to rap artists. So to me, that says to the young rapper, look, man, you didn't want to be no leader, but you got millions that are hanging on every word you say. Why don't you become a teacher of them? I can give you wisdom, put it in rap language. Jesse could give you knowledge, and you put it in rap language and start instructing your people. But then the record executives would say, we don't want that. So let's set up our own distribution companies. Mm-hmm. We have to distribute something better to our people, because as a man thinks, Jesus said, so is he. You are what you eat. So if you're eating filth, you can't have a clean system. And if you're eating filth in your head day in and day out, you can't come out with clean language and clean actions if that's what you're feeding on. So Mao Zedong, to me, one of the greatest revolutionaries of our time, he had 1 billion people to convert to his idea. What did he do? He saw the value of the cultural community. So he took his ideas, or they took his ideas, put it in song, put it in dance, put it in plays, put it in books, and before you know it, China became a great, great nation. We'll never become a great nation without our artists. Yeah. Our artists are the key, not only to the liberation of black people, but the liberation of humanity itself.
And that was why I'm sure that during the Million Man March, you included artists in many cases at a time when other people would not in that kind of forum. And as I look back, not just at the Million More movement, but as I look back at the Million Man March, going myself as a college student and remembering being on the turnpikes and how trucks couldn't get in because there were so many buses. Let me ask, how did you feel on that day?
Honestly?
Yes.
Numb. You know, some people would think it would be great elation. But I'm a vessel that was used by a higher power to make that call and to do that work at that time that brought about that result. I'm gratified, but I learned more about the Million Man March from those who went, because they saw it, they felt it, they got so much from it. I just came out after working for 2 years to produce it. I came out and delivered a message, but I was numb. Look out there and you can see it's more than 1 million people. God used me in a magnificent way. But some asked me, well, how do you feel? I felt like a leaf that a wind had carried here and carried there and carried there. I can't take any credit. None whatsoever. All the credit belongs to God. All the honor and the glory belongs to God. I'm just an instrument, and I'm so thankful that God would see fit to use me as an instrument.
As Moses was an instrument, Moses also became frustrated when the people did not catch the vision and manifest it in their own lives. Does Minister Farrakhan ever get frustrated?
Yes.
10 years, 15 years later, when...
But I'm not tired. I'm hurting because I know what's coming.
But what frustrates you?
The fact that Elijah Muhammad said to me, it's going to take more than teaching to straighten our people up. I'm a teacher. I'm like a mother. When a mother has wayward children, and she's talking to them and talking to them and talking to them, and she even spanks them, but her spanking, you know, doesn't quite touch them in the right way to make them change. Then one day, out of frustration, she turns them over to Daddy. Daddy ain't talking. Daddy, when Daddy starts whipping that backside, the child cries, I ain't gonna do it no more. He say he knows. You're not going to do it no more, but I'm going to keep doing this until I make the message that your mother said to you sink deep in. In the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, they saw the prophet Ezekiel as a beautiful song. And when they couldn't hear the song anymore, you know what they said? Indeed, a prophet of God was among us. How do y'all see Farrakhan? You see him as a lovely song. I love to go hear the brother. The brother can rap. The brother's this. The brother's that. But I know there's an end to the final call. I know that when the train says, final call, leaving on track 22, well, final call, gate 6. If you don't get there in time, it leaves you. Well, right now, black people are in a dangerous position because the God is angry with us. Angry because we know better, but we refuse to do better. A warner came among us and told us, get up from the foot of the enemy and stop begging them for what you could unite and do for yourself. And you still out here looking to them to provide a future for you when the future is in your own hands. And then you turn on yourself and kill yourself and kill each other. No, the God is angry, and we're going to pay a price for that. My days of warning us about what God is about to do is just about over. Not that my time to lead is over. My time to warn you of what God is about to put on our behind is up. And you're about to reap the chastisement that you richly deserve because you know better and you won't do better, so you got to feel. That's what my mother told me. A hard head make a soft behind. Well, your behind, not you, but our people's behind is going to be like soft putty when God get finished. And the very people that you discard for is going to turn on you. And you'll be slaughtered in the streets of the ghetto. Mark my words, brother, because I'm not warning you much longer. I'm telling you what you're going to face. And America is in the soup as we speak. She's going down, brother. And if we hang on to a ship that's sinking, man, you go down with the ship. You got to change. We've got to change. There's no playing for us anymore. It's all over. Bush has led this country to its near complete destruction. And if he goes a step further and gets into greater war, war that you can't win, then I feel sorry for you who think that you can be all that you can never be by joining the armed forces.
Well, let's pause. There are a couple things. One is that I think I've heard you say, and I'm not quoting you but paraphrasing, that white folks often give themselves over to evil and animalistic behavior connected to this white supremacy that we find ourselves in the midst of. I'm wondering, in the midst of your journey,
of its listenership and viewership. Thank you.
Bless you. On my way here, my son, who's 4 years old, said, you're going to see the man that speaks truth. I said, I am. That to me was more profound because I never said to him, this was the man that says truth. He was responding to the reaction of the people that he saw see you. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
For being a man that speaks truth and that lives truth. Thank you for BET News. But thank you for me, a brother that you have inspired. I remember being a college student, understanding that you were one of the few people that came on the yard that inspired black students to be proud of who they were, regardless of what they heard in the classroom. And that even as black students like myself had death threats as a result of bringing you, that we understood that that was as a result of what you had to give to the people. And so I know that you've been a willing vessel that has made yourself open to be used. I want to thank you for that, because it's the very sacrifice that you don't know about, the lives that you've changed, the people that will never have the opportunity to hold your hand. I'm thanking you on behalf of them.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. This message and all other messages are available in their entirety through The Final Call at store.finalcall.com. And remember to log on to the most widely circulated black newspaper in the country, The Final Call at finalcall.com.